The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network, the Expat Broadcasting Group, the staff, management, or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier, Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Richard McCall, your host, Colombia Calling, your first stop shop for everything and anything Colombian. We are expats here in Colombia. I'm radioing in from Mompox, Bolivar, Colombia. We are 6 hours, 5 to 6 hours south of Cartagena, the eternal tourist destination of Colombia. I'm here in a UNESCO World Heritage Site where I have a small hotel called La Casa Amarilla. Rather than sit and talk about the wonders of this town, I'm going to hear and I'm going to interview some practice experts in the travel industry here in Colombia, talk about expat living, talk about the news, talk about what's going on. Anyway, before we get to that point, we're going to talk a little bit about Colombia in the news. So we've got the solidarity of Latin America rearing its head once again, this time because Bolivian President Evo Morales was denied the landing strip, basically, in Spain and in France and in other places. So you've got the presidents of Latin America are declaring their solidarity with him on that front. And of course, Juan Manuel Santos, Colombia's president, also stepped forward to reassure Bolivia and the Bolivian people that we are alongside them in this, which is curious. And of course, we've got people burning flags in Bolivia, but that's Bolivia, this is Colombia. What can we say? Well, I think people are asking the wrong questions about the Snowden affair. If France and all of these countries and Spain denied Evo Morales' plane, thinking that Snowden was on it, what are the secrets that everyone is hiding? We've got to think about that. What are these secrets? Anyway, that's Latin America, Bolivia. Bolivia haven't given him asylum yet, but we don't know what's happening with that, really. Until he appears out of the Russian airport, we will not know anything. Back to Colombia. Well, the under-20 World Cup team, the under-20 Colombian World Cup team, were eliminated, sadly, against South Korea, a very tenacious and dogged South Korea side, who won in the end on penalties. It was an emotional day for Colombia, but that's sports aside. But on the same topic, Medellin, the city of Medellin, last year, 2012's most innovative city, as voted by people in the Wall Street Journal, an amazing accolade for a city that was once the world capital of crime, world capital of death. But it was the most innovative city for its cable cars and transport system and the way that the violence has taken a downturn. That's turning away from the yesteryear of Pablo Escobar and the other cartels in Medellin. And so that bad luck to Medellin for not being chosen as the youth Olympic, the seat of the Olympics, the Youth Olympics for 2018. And of course, this is a great loss to Medellin, which has a fabulous sporting facility recently built near to the current football stadiums. And they would have been excellent hosts, there's no doubting about that. But there will be many more things for Medellin, Colombia's second city. What else can we say? Well, 5 years on. 5 years, imagine that. It's been 5 years since Ingrid Betancourt and the three American contractors were freed in Operation Checkmate by the Colombian military. Still, there's a lot of doubt and a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding this incident, but whatever happened, whatever took place, those people are free today. Plenty of articles coming out and talking about this. Ingrid Betancourt, of course, the one-time former presidential hopeful. It wasn't very likely that she was going to win the elections. That's what the foreign press liked to make out, that the sort of Joan of Arc figure. But no, she wasn't going to win the elections, but she represented something else, you know, a different vote. And she was liberated 5 years ago this week. And of course, there's a much polemic figure here in Colombia. The three American contractors have spoken as well, and you know, it's tough. I mean, I can't possibly liken their experiences to anything. I mean, you're being chained by the neck in the jungles and held by the FARC guerrillas, and every time there was the possible rescue operation, or the FARC guerrillas, the Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia, currently engaged in peace dialogues in Cuba with the Colombian government, but every time that these guerrillas felt that there was a possible rescue operation by the government, by the government forces, they would line up these contractors and have a guard in front of each one of them ready to pull the trigger, ready to put a bullet in their heads because they didn't want them to be rescued. I mean, pretty inhumane, unpleasant tales and unpleasant practices came out from this liberation and Operation Checkmate. You can read about it, of course, if you want to read up a little bit more. There are two books that I recommend highly. There's one by John Otis called The Law of the Jungle, but the one written by the captives themselves, Mark Gonsalves and others, Keith Stansel, is called Out of Captivity, and it relates all three points of view from the American contractors who were held in captivity so long. I think it was roughly 6 years, so a long time, and of course this takes a long time to adjust. Kidnappings are down in Colombia. A local NGO has established that. A local NGO has said that kidnappings are down. Of course, kidnappings of foreigners is way down. Currently, there's only one foreigner in captivity in Colombia. One is too many. It's the Canadian Jernok Wobert, who was taken into captivity by the ELN, so the other guerrilla group, the Ejército de Liberación Nacional. And he was taken in December or January this year. He remains in captivity as the ELN try and join forces with the FARC and edge out other people to get their place as well at the negotiating table. Now, this is interesting politics, and one I would imagine that the Colombian government would be happy to receive, but as Juan Manuel Santos said, let's get the people out of captivity first before they join the dialogues, and he's very right in this respect. What else can I tell you? Well, there's been all sorts of news going on because of the tragic murder of the DEA agent, the US DEA agent in Bogota in the Parque 93. Absolutely terrible, and it's cast a spotlight on a sector of the working society that really requires an overhaul, and that is taxis. Taxis in Bogota and taxis in any major city. It has been revealed that for just 50,000 pesos and 2 hours waiting, anyone can get a taxi license. 50,000 pesos, that's roughly $25. So for $25 and 2 hours of your time, you can become a taxi driver. And of course, this has been the problem. So anyone can be a taxi driver, and any bandit can decide to be a taxi driver and then try and set up a gang to rob their clients. Fortunately, this has come out of a terrible situation, and it had to be that an American was murdered, not a Colombian. So, of course, this has caused an international row and an international scandal. And how many Colombians suffer this every day? Of course, we need to think about that. But the fact that this poor guy was murdered in a taxi in a very upmarket part of Bogota, it's cast a light on this horrible, horrible practice. And hopefully the government and Bogota's mayor and mayors of major cities, Medellin, Cali, and wherever else this may take place, hopefully they're standing up and they'll start requiring real the unions, the taxi unions, to take a deeper look at their regulations and how easy it is to become a taxi driver. So anyway, that's what's going on at the moment in Colombia, and I will be right back with my interviewees. We'll be talking about Colombian travel, Colombia in general, what it's like to live here, everything you need as an expat, and everything you want to know as a visitor. I'm your host, Richard McCall, and this is Colombia Calling. Thank you.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Just finished school? Newly retired? Looking for a change? Get certified to teach English and move abroad like thousands do every year. Global TESOL College comes to Costa Rica, the global organization that trains and certifies more ESL instructors than any other organization of its kind. For the past 15 years, we've trained and certified over 40,000 graduates in the field of TESOL. Live the dream of staying and studying at the beach. You will be living at one of our beautifully centrally located accommodation options in Jaco Beach on Costa Rica's Pacific Coast. With a school, beach, and great restaurants all within walking distance, in a safe community with all the convenience of back home, discover why so many choose to earn their teaching certificate in Jaco Beach, Costa Rica. Visit us today for more information at www.globaltesolcostarica.com. That's global TESOL CostaRica.com. Mention this ad when you enroll and receive $50 off your tuition. Enroll with a friend and receive $100 off. The world is waiting for you, and Global TESOL College is your ticket.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
Va subiendo la corriente.
Good afternoon, this is Richard McCall, your host. We're here, Colombia Calling, and I have some special guests today from the travel industry. I have Colombian national Marcela Mariscal and her husband, a Peruvian national, an expat here in Colombia, Jose Luis Pastor, of the famed travel blog, See Colombia Travel, and their agency, See Colombia Travel. So, these are very, very mobile people in the travel industry, making things happen here in Colombia. A Colombian who's returned to Colombia to make something of this upturn in tourism and help change the image of the country. And her husband, who is, yes, well, he has some things to say, but he's here and he's in Colombia, and we're working together to the same end, to drive tourism to Colombia and to show the world that Colombia is not like every Hollywood movie. So, welcome today, Jose and Marcela.
Hola, Richard. Thank you very much for having us here. We're very happy to be able to share our thoughts about Colombia.
Hi, Richard. Thank you very much for your introduction.
You're very welcome. Now, you guys are accomplished bloggers. You're accomplished. You've worked in the travel agency for travel industry for some time. You worked in Argentina, I believe, in a big agency there.
Yeah, I used to own a big agency. Actually, it was an incoming operator. We worked in Argentina. The headquarters was there, but we had offices all over Latin America, actually. And just to make the story short, when I met Marcela, I decided that I wanted to move to Colombia, that the opportunities here were great. I discussed with my former partners about moving to Colombia, and they were delaying the decision. So basically, in 2011, I said, okay, if you don't want to move to Colombia, I'll do it myself with Marcela. And I sold my share of the company, and I'm here.
This is fantastic. I mean, you took a leap of faith, and you sold up, and you left Argentina, and you've come to Colombia. And is it working out for you, Colombia?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the nice thing about this is that it's not only a leap of faith, but I did by myself. I mean, Paul Fowler, an Englishman, is our editor, he used to be working for me in Argentina. And he just took the same leap of faith, absolutely. He said, I told him I'm going to Colombia, would you come? And he said, yes, with absolutely no doubt. Although in England, everyone was telling him that he was going to be kidnapped the moment he arrived to Colombia. And our whole team, that is basically 90% expats, are more or less the same. They fall in love with Colombia, and they're really, really, really in love with the culture, with the people. It's a very nice team that we have formed.
How did you find all of it? So you say you have Paul Fowler, who worked with you in Argentina, and he you know, he threw everything in and came up to Colombia on a whim with you. But how did you find the other expats to come and work with you?
Well, when we first started, we were Marcela, myself, and Paul sitting in a table in a dining room, and that's where we started the company. The blog, actually, the blog as a strategy came before the company, and actually we become very, very popular online. We were the first ones, I think, blogging about Colombia as a destination in English. We were the first expats, yes, telling the true stories about Colombia. This was a blog that Marcela actually started in 2010. And it was, you know, Richard, very organic. People started just reading us, and they started offering themselves to write for us for free at the beginning. We became very, very popular among the expat community and the English-speaking audience abroad. So it was organic, but people offered to work for us, actually.
Well, this is awesome, because not only are you getting the, let's say, expat community picking up your stuff and people who want to come out and travel into Colombia, I imagine you're getting Colombians abroad reading, you know, this positive, not fluff, but positive news about their country. I mean, what have you had feedback from Colombians living overseas?
Absolutely. We've been featuring some TV shows that are broadcast abroad. And we do get contacted by lots of Colombians that, you know, they're amazed by our story. They cannot believe that we just left everything where we were and came to work for the country. And they say, you know, I do want to go back. I want to, you know, follow your path. I want to do the same. You know, we do get contacted a lot by lots of Colombians.
Well, I think this is incredibly, incredibly positive. And I think it's something that the Colombian, let's say, tourism board hasn't thought about, you know, the actual to draw Colombians back as potential tourists to their country, not just foreigners, let's say. We need to get Colombians back, too, and they will be the ones who then go back to the United States, Spain, England, wherever else, and tell their friends, you know, it's not as bad as when I left.
Exactly. We've had second and third generation of Colombians coming back, and we've had a really sweet, people, you know, adoptees, Colombians that have been adopted and they want to come back, and some have actually stayed. We've had lots. I was amazed. I wasn't aware of the kind of industry that's behind adoptions.
I think,
we've had lots. They just want to come and they just want to stay. They want to eat their food. They want to go dancing. I mean, they just want to be here, you know.
It's a Colombian brought up abroad is still a Colombian. I mean, there's still going to be that blood, that identity within them. They're going to know how to dance better than me, obviously. And they're going to want the sancocho and all of these things. But, I mean, I want to go back first to the blog a little bit. I mean, you've got Paul, you've got a team of, I mean, people from Australia, New Zealand. Where else are your team from?
Well, right now we have basically Aussies and Brits.
Yeah. Aussies and Brits.
Right. One of them, actually, Hassan is from Iraq, and he was raised in England. Yeah. No, it's a very diverse group.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you're the first people who've told me you have an Iraqi working for them in Colombia. So, that's certainly out there. Now, I was looking at your Facebook page, and you've got almost 5,000 followers on that. Your Twitter account, which you are prolific, let's say. You've got 16,500 followers. I think you've probably got more than Justin Bieber. And you're telling the good news about Colombia. I mean, this is great. But you produce content. I mean, that's the thing. You said you started the blog in 2010 and it kept growing, but it's content. You've got this big team. How many blogs are you making? How many blogs are you putting out a day?
Well, we try to post once a day, from Monday to Friday, basically. If something merits it, we actually also write on Saturdays and Sundays. But we have right now more than 600 posts. Which is a lot. And, we plan ahead, of course. We try to foresee what's going to be news about Colombia and to have a very, very structured plan. And, you know, we really want to engage people.
Of course,
it's very our strength is the content, is well thought content.
You know? Well, with the content, you've got the hook. I mean, and of course, if it's newsworthy, it's timely, and you're going to draw more people into your agency and more people to your sites.
Exactly. But you know, we are not pushy in that sense. We actually mention very, very little that we are a travel agency. We honestly want to be a source of information about the new face of Colombia. And you're going to very probably reach to our blog if you're looking for some specific things in Colombia. And if you want to travel and you like what we write, well, you will very probably contact us. But we don't use it as a very, it's not an obvious, marketing tool. We honestly love what we do. We love blogging, we love writing, we love traveling, and we love living in Colombia. So it's very genuine. I think that's our best characteristic, is that it's very, very genuine. We really do it with the heart.
Lots of our passengers say, you know, they write to us and they say, you know, you're a fun group of people, you know, I do want to travel with you. That's basically it. They see that we're transparent, we give out lots of information for free, and they just end up traveling with us because we're fun, you know, we're a cool gang.
Cool gang. Self-proclaimed cool gang. No, I can vouch for these two. They're a cool gang. But it's a good news story, this. And you know, as Jose Luis mentioned, 600 posts. I mean, this is content. This is a lesson to any blogger or anyone out there, despite the fact that their blog, the See Colombia Travel blog, is not a platform for the agency, but of course, you know, it's almost like the Wikipedia for fun in Colombia, because anything you search, this will come up. I mean, and rather than just negative stories. But anyway, we're talking here with Jose Luis Pastor and Marcela Mariscal. This is this day from the See Colombia Travel blog, See Colombia Travel, travel agency. And I'm your host, Richard McCall, and this is Colombia Calling. We'll be right back.
Va subiendo la corriente con chinchorro y atarraya.
So good afternoon, listeners. I'm your host, Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. I'm calling in here from hot, sweaty, sunny Mompox, 6 hours south of Cartagena. Any noise you hear in the background from my side are tropical birds in the trees. Yes, I'm calling from a really isolated but idyllic part of the world, and I'm talking to experts in the travel industry here in Colombia. I'm talking to Jose Luis Pastor and Marcela Mariscal, a husband and wife team from Peru and Colombia, working to improve Colombia's reputation abroad, improve Colombia's reputation at home, and they are also the authors, the organizers, the overseers of a very famous blog, the See Colombia Travel blog. Now, you won an award. Which awards have you won for your blog?
The last one was the best blog in Latin America by the Bloggy Awards, which are equivalent to the Oscars for the blogging industry. We've been second in Fitur, which is the biggest travel show in Spanish in Spain. We were second best blog. Those are the two most recent ones.
I mean, you've won multiple awards. I mean, this is really something. And to come out of Colombia, which is fantastic as well.
Exactly.
And so you've got – what I want to talk about now, though, I mean – you know, it came out today in the press. There's the newspaper in Manizales, that according to people in the sort of, let's say, Western developed world, I don't like using those terms, but for the listeners to get the idea across of Europe or North America, from a sort of, I think it was 30,000 people surveyed, Colombia still came out as having the worst reputation in Latin America. But we're working towards changing that. What else should we be doing? Because if it's still coming out, despite almost 5, 6 years, 10 years of working on this campaign, I think things have improved. I think the image has improved, but whoever that was surveyed doesn't. What do we have to do?
Well, what I always tell our passengers and our readers is, first of all, do not take any advice from people that have not been to the country. The only way to get to know Colombia and to see it is to actually come. So I always, you know, always overcome that question saying to people, you know, mostly moms that really worry because the kids are coming. I said, you know, don't worry. It is true. It is true, and it's so true that it's in the past. And, you know, you're welcome to come and see it. And, you know, what you need to just come to the country, have fun, take lots of pictures, and go back and tell everyone. That's what we have to do. And the other thing that we have to do is, you know, try to get television networks not to do any more shows about bad news about Colombia.
Yeah, this
that's
definitely not helping. This is a big problem. It's not only are we talking Hollywood and various vehicles that end up always slamming Colombia. I was watching the other week, it happened to be on TV, and I'm ashamed to say it, I watched Collateral Damage. I mean, you know, the town where I am located now is called Mompos, and it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's incredibly peaceful, incredibly idyllic, as I mentioned earlier. And somehow, someone who was planning that movie decided to make the guerrilla stronghold as the town of Mompos. I've been investigating this theme, and I found out who did this. It was a man, an Italian actor, who filmed and who was involved in the filming of Love in the another Gabriel Garcia Marquez novel, Chronicle of a Death Foretold. Mm-hmm. And he was involved in filming it in Mompos, and he had an argument with someone, and something happened here that he's always held a grudge against the town. Can you imagine? To hold a grudge against a town so deep and so such a barb in his body that when he was asked for locations and for names for the movie Collateral Damage, which is a dreadful movie that I cannot recommend to anyone. It's a Schwarzenegger movie that should tell you everything you need to know. But Mompos, this World Heritage, UNESCO World Heritage Site, has been identified as a guerrilla stronghold. I mean, it was damaging.
Please do give us his Twitter.
Yeah, give us his Twitter and we'll start a campaign of hate. He's actually quite a famous Italian actor, and I probably shouldn't say his name over the air for fear of repercussions. But anyway, so yes, there is a real problem. So that was Hollywood on one side, but there's the domestic problem, the telenovelas, soap operas. What, do you have anything to say about these soap operas that continue glorifying the violence of the past?
Yeah, well, I was last week in Chile, where they're still airing El Patrón del Mar, this telenovela about Pablo Escobar. And right now, the only thing they hear about Medellin is Pablo Escobar. No one knows that it's the most innovative city of the world. No one knows about the amazing metro railway system. No one knows about the very nice weather. When you mention Medellin, they immediately ask you about Pablo Escobar. They even have imitators on TV in Chile, doing shows about Pablo Escobar. And they have this imitator even doing TV acts. So everything that's been, that the government and press has been doing well in the past years, is right now actually going to the trash. Because now everyone is again talking about Medellin and Escobar in the same phrase every time you mention it. It's very, very damaging.
It's incredibly damaging. I don't think that Medellin will ever fully be able to turn its back on its Escobarian past. I mean, Pablo Escobar, unfortunately, is such a huge figure, and of course, became a myth, you know?
If I might add, also, there is, in Medellin, they try to hide it under the rug, you know, under the carpet. And that's something that you also should avoid. I mean, you have to put this in the past. Sometimes some paisas, what they do is just try to make you believe that doesn't exist.
It didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that's something they have to change as well. I mean, they have to put that in the past as part of the history of Medellin in order to understand how successful the city is now, in spite of what happened 20 years ago. But it's also damaging not to mention try to pretend it didn't happen. That's something that also damages, I mean, the English of the city. You have to recognize that stuff happened in order to be able to present a new Medellin. Mm-hmm. And that has happened with lots of our colleagues and passengers. even with bloggers with brought here to Colombia, they always ask us, okay, it was very pretty, the blockchain was great, but what about Escobar? I know the city is wonderful now, but I want to know how the rebirth of Medellin is never explained. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's something that the government and the tourism bureaus should also work on.
Yeah, I think you've got you've latched onto an incredibly important point there, Jose. It's, you know, you can't deny the past. It happened. And people are going to want to know about it. But by learning the history, we can move on. You know, it's too, of course, if you are a paisa, as people are from Medellin are known, you know, it's a real shame. And they find it a shame to talk about this past because, of course, it was so scarring, I mean, for them. It's so present.
It's very painful. I mean, it has to be. I have family. Half of my family is from Medellin, and I was a bit worried about telling them that we were doing a Pablo Escobar tour. But I tried to show them, and I actually explained that if we manage to find a very respectful way of telling a story, you know, we're showing our passengers that they are in Medellin now. Because Pablo Escobar is history. That's basically it. But you have to touch the subject. I mean, you cannot deny it. That's wrong.
While we're on this quickly, I just want to ask, has your Pablo Escobar tour in Medellin has been successful?
Yeah, the thing is that we call it, it was a marketing strategy to call it like that. It's actually a regular city tour in which we include the history of Escobar. And we don't deny it, which is something that lots of agencies do. You know, we don't focus specifically on Escobar, but we tell the history of Pablo Escobar in the context of where the city is now.
Well, this is absolutely right. I mean, you know, most tourists now, most tourists of a certain age and most tourists who know of the history of Pablo Escobar, I wouldn't imagine anyone who comes to Colombia does not know the history of Pablo Escobar. They will also go to the police museum in Bogota just for that one room on the detail and the exhibition on how the police captured Pablo Escobar.
Exactly. Well, when we created this tour, Richard, what we wanted to do is avoid that because there's a lot of foreigners, of the travelers, especially backpackers, that come here. They want to do some of the smallest Pablo Escobar tours. And they think they're gonna go to a kind of a Scarface, you know, setting, and they're gonna pose with machine guns. You know, we wanted to totally fight that, taking that as part of the history of the season, instead of a gimmick.
Absolutely, absolutely right. And of course, I hope the people of Medellin are appreciative of your efforts. I hope they're not just, insulting you and
we try not to mention it a lot. We know we're doing things right. I mean, it's a very touchy subject for them.
But, yeah.
As I tell the people at the bureau, they should, I mean, of course, not make that the center of anything, but they have to just, say, because it is much more valuable, where Medellin is now, it has much more value knowing where they were 20 years ago.
Exactly. It's exactly that. It's to show how far the city has progressed. I mean, Medellin is an incredibly innovative city, and that's why it was, of course, elected and voted in as the most innovative city, and it has this remarkably inclusive, socially inclusive transport system, the metro system, which is the only one in Colombia, which is just first class, and people take care of it. Paisas are proud of their city.
The Librería de España, which is the place where it's at, is just unique. I mean, you know, having... It is actually located in a comuna, some sort of a favela for the audience. It's an amazing, very modern library. It has become an icon of the city and is located in one of the most dangerous areas of Medellin. That just says it all.
The architecture is striking. It's almost like sort of huge boulders, no? But Medellin has come forward, and that is shown by the growth in international tourism to the city, direct flights from the USA, people wanting to retire down there because of the favorable climate and security and the good property prices. I mean, Medellin is coming forward, and this is only positive. This is only positive. I'm here talking with Jose Luis Pastor and Marcela Mariscal of the Sea Colombia Travel Blog. I'm your host, Richard McCall, and this is Colombia Calling. We'll be right back.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Va subiendo la corriente con chinchorro y atarraya.
And welcome back. This is Richard McCall on Colombia Calling. I am here talking everything Colombia, anything Colombia, with Jose Luis Pastor and Marcela Mariscal of the Sea Colombia Travel Blog. We've been talking about security. We've been talking about the change in lifestyle and the change in security situation in Medellin, how we should be working together to improve Colombia's image abroad. And these travel experts, these bloggers par excellence, have been working full steam ahead with a team of international bloggers, team of writers. They've got one of the most visited blogs on Colombia, if not the most visited blog on Colombia, and a travel agency to boot. Now, the most exciting thing that, in my mind, that happened is that they were able to help a young lady adopted from Colombia to find her birth parents, and this was recently subject to a Nat Geo show. Can you tell me about this?
Well, yes, it's just an amazing story. I'll tell you the story how it started. I take some of the calls that come into Sea Colombia Travel, so I picked up this call and she starts telling me that she's adopted and she wants to come back, as we have many other adoptees coming back to the country, and she said we kind of got on, you know, and we started sharing stories, and she told me her sad story. She was taken. She was taken when she was four. She was taken away from her mom and put into the adoption system, and she was taken into the States. And it had been 36 years since that happened, and she decided to come back to the country to search for her mom. So by then, I was in tears, obviously, because the story, she remembers such special details about her mom, of her smell, her hair. She remembered that she used to sell drinks and food on a stall in a corner of a park. I mean, she had very clear memories of her past. And I always say, you know, it was my daughter's call that I just turned around and say, Jose, we have to do something. I don't know what, but we have to help her. So here, my genius in marketing and communication came up with the idea. You know, we start writing about it in the blog and just using our social media platforms to reach as many people as we could. Our aim basically was to help her. And just to make a long story short, it did take about 4 to 5 months. Then she arrived into the country. We took her everywhere. It was very sad because we knew lots of other people or lots of other families that were looking for their daughters and sisters.
The fun thing, sorry that I interrupt you, is that she wanted to go to every single party in Bogota. I mean, that was her aim.
Yeah, she said, I want to go to every park in Bogota. And I said, well, that's not going to happen because there are over 4,000 parks.
So this young lady, sorry, I'm just going to interrupt slightly. This young lady was taken from her mother when she was 4 years old and adopted in the United States. And what she remembered was that she remembered a park.
She remembered a park, exactly.
Oh, my word. And so she wanted to come to every park, but you took her to a number of parks, I can imagine. And which region of Bogota ended up being her territory, let's say?
Well, I said, you know, we have to narrow down your search because, I mean, 4,000 parks is not going to happen. So we went close by to the adoption house, and then we got lots of leads.
Right.
Our blog got read in Spain, in the States. I mean, we got lots of leads through the blog.
With similar stories.
With similar stories. So basically we ended up in lots of different neighborhoods in Bogota. But to make the long story short, she was abducted from a park in the center of the city, and her family lived in Bosa, which is a neighborhood south of Bogota.
Yes. So she was abducted, taken to the States. So 40 years later, she comes back for the first time. And you guys, Marcela, being particularly Latin, is crying and become her friend. And you found her family.
We did.
It was a very, I mean, we put together a strategy, actually. We not only did it offline. We used lots of online tools, but we knew that we needed to get, you know, to a wider audience to like the chances of actually finding her family. So we actually, Marcela herself went to Caracol, was it?
Caracol and RCN.
And newspapers, you know, and then Caracol interviewed actually Nicole and Marcela when was searching for the family.
RCN.
And that went on air, and apparently someone saw that on TV in
Venezuela.
In Venezuela, and we gave RCN a picture of Nicole with all the her details in there with her email. Someone saw that and wrote Nicole, and it was actually her family.
And it was seen in Venezuela to come back to Bogota.
Exactly, and then things become really, really crazy.
Well, yeah, they saw. The news in Venezuela, and they went into the blog. Obviously, we posted it in Spanish and in English. So they went into the blog and they found, you know, they read the story and they said, you know, that's her, you know, because she remembers such good, you know, such clear details about her story. So they send her an email, and then she sends me she forwards this email to me because she doesn't speak Spanish. And then that day I'm on the phone with her. I'm on the phone with the mom, the biological mom, and I'm with Nicole, that's her name, on Skype. And I said, you know, can you please, I spoke to this lady and said, you know, I'm Marcela, I'm friends of Nicole. Can you please tell me a little bit about your story? So she shared her story with me. Obviously, I knew Nicole's story by heart. So I said, you know, this is it. We were all shouting and screaming, and Nicole obviously was screaming, crying. It was just amazing. And then Nicole decided, she was in Cartagena by then, and she had given up on the search, and then she flew back to Bogota that same day, and we arranged for a van to take us all to Bosa to meet
well, the cosmic family. Time was amazing. She was here in Colombia when we found the mother. That was amazing. She was going to live in three days.
It's this is giving me goosebumps because the story is just, it's fantastic. I mean, it's a really good news story. And of course, this is a dreadful practice that has taken place in a lot of countries, not just Colombia. You know, the market of babies for adoption. But in Colombia, it happened a great deal. And I know that there are stories coming forward from the period around the Armero disaster where many children went missing. And now someone has turned up in Holland. And another's turned up elsewhere, and they don't speak Spanish, and they don't know their roots. I mean, for someone like Nicole, it was like erasing a past, but they couldn't erase it completely. She remembered certain things, and with these just a couple of details, you were able to find a family. And of course, with the help of RCN and Caracol, the two big TV stations, seen in Venezuela, back to Bogota. And within days of her, before she left to the U.S. again, you found her family. How was that? I mean, when you brought her to the family, how many family members were there? I mean,
well, it was a huge, you know, one of those Colombian families. You know, there were, I think there were six aunties and husbands and cousins. She found, I don't know, I think she's got 30 cousins. And obviously those cousins already have children, so... You know, it was a full house.
And how did she communicate with them all?
Well, through me. You know, she couldn't speak a word of Spanish, which kind of depressed her a lot. But I was there. I was translating all the time. So I was It was a very, very special and a very emotional thing for me because I was the link, you know. Obviously, with the team and with everyone involved, it was. I was the link, you know. I wasn't the link, the weakest link. I was the link between her past and her family. It was just amazing, and I was translating all the time. When we got to the house, we were followed by a French TV crew that were doing a documentary on her story and some other adoptee story. So we were full of cameras and microphones.
And there was Chinese TV too, by that point too.
We contacted a Chinese TV reporter that was also helping.
Okay.
They all got off the van and I stayed behind with Nicole and she got busy with a bag and I said, just drop the bag and just go, it's your mom. So she got off the van and the mom comes out and there's this hag. If you go onto the blog, you'll see that picture. I was just there crying and taking pictures. And they just hugged there for a minute, but they couldn't speak a word, you know. They were silent, and all I could hear in the background was saying, you know, that's her,
it's
Igualita. That's her, you know, and the all the cousins and aunties, they start coming out, and then we... The house, it was modest house, but a, you know, properly done, a nice house. You can see it's a nice family, warm family. And we just sat there and they looked at each other, they held hands and they wouldn't let go. You know, they were just, that mom wouldn't, she was not going to let her go again.
No,
she was there to
be. Yeah, 36 years later. And now this went out on the air. You helped with the National Geographic documentary on this story. It went out on the air in June, but will it be shown again so we can see it?
We just saw last year, yesterday.
Actually. There are going to be reruns along during the whole month of July.
Okay.
We don't know exactly which day, but the show name is A Un Clic.
A Un Clic. So on Nat Geo Spanish.
It's fine. Apparently, it's going to be translated into and sold to Nat Geo Network in English.
I advise people look out for that because the story is one that you know it's just a tearjerker, as you can tell.
It is. Marcela was doing all the ground work and the team was at the office. It's still blowing. It's still retreating. Still finding out things. And we didn't know anything about Marcela. Marcela wouldn't call us because she was. So, you know, busy doing this. And when she called us and told us what happened, it's just that it was actually the one. I mean, I've never been in such an emotional, we all hugged and stuff. I mean, I think there's nothing that can top that feeling that through the blog, we actually changed lives. That's an overwhelming feeling.
Yeah, I mean, truly, truly impressive. We're running out of time now, but I mean, that story is one for the memory, one for the record books. You did a really good thing. 36 years after this lady was taken, she's been reunited with her family. I guess she has to learn Spanish now. Anyway, Liz, we're going to sign off now. Just tell us a little bit, Derek, if you want to tell us which is your blog site and which is your travel agency site for the people out there listening.
Okay, our blog is called Sea Colombia Travel Blog by Marcela. You can find it on www.seacolombia.travel/blog. There you'll find lots of information about Colombia, honest information about Colombia, not just from myself as a Colombian talking about how good my country is, but from foreigners, expats that decided to leave everything and come to Colombia, as our host did as well. It's just there. You're welcome to come and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
Chat with us with your online chat.
But yes, we love to chat to people. We're always there. We're very warm. We are a well set up business, but we're people talking to people. So you're always going to find an honest answer from ourselves.
Well, thank you very much for your time and honesty, as you said. And yes, the Sea Colombia Travel Blog. Just Google it or look it up, as Marcela said. This is Colombia Calling. I've been your host, Richard McCall, and a big thank you to Marcela Mariscal and Jose Luis Pastor.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio.